Thank you, Bobby and Tyson. And, you know, I love, there are so many gifts that are in this, in all of you. And if that's ever something that you want to share, please let me know. Let Crystal know. Give us a call. And I mean, we love to have each of you kind of share the things that God has given to you to share with the body so that we can all benefit and not keep those things to ourselves. Amen. So that was just a wonderful kind of a lead in to the what I'm going to be sharing with you this morning. I'm hoping, as I said earlier today, that we are coming into this hour and you're going into your weeks open and praying like crazy. Jesus, if you change everything, show me. If that's really true. And we were singing. Oftentimes I actually wonder when we're in worship and we're singing and I mull over the words and the lyrics. Sometimes I sing and sometimes I don't, because I want to make sure that what's coming out of my mouth is like really what I think or really what that I can get with, right? Because nobody, and at least of all God, wants us to be fake or phony in this space. God wants us to bring our true and real selves. And so it's okay to ponder the things that we're saying and the things that we're singing, that your worship might be authentic. And so these are the kinds of things that we're talking about that we're new and open to in this Advent season, so that we don't take things for granted. And it is easy to take it for granted. It is easy, especially if you've been walking in this faith for any kind of time, it's easy to sort of take it for granted, right? To kind of, I go to church, or yeah, I believe in Jesus, but what does that actually mean when you put your flesh on it, when you put your body on it, all right? So Friday night, my routine, as I've shared with some of you, my routine in preparation for sermons goes something like this. Monday I take off. Wednesday I begin to do some research, as much time as I can get in around the thing that I'm going to be talking about. We plan our sermons a month in advance so that we kind of know a direction. And so Wednesday usually is the day that I start pulling things together, just articles and readings and stuff like that. Thursday I do a little bit more of that, and it's beginning to take shape. Friday, if it's a good week, is when I actually sit down to write. And I would have to say that my process has gotten a little prettier. It wasn't that pretty early on. But now if I have a rhythm in my life, Friday is about 5 o'clock, is kind of when I sit down to open my laptop and kind of get everything sort of ready to write. And if I've had a good time of preparing, the writing just kind of comes, and I get kind of excited because I can feel this is, I'm learning. So Friday night, it's getting settled in. It's about 5:50. I'm sitting in my chair, got the pillow behind me, got my laptop in front of me. Everything is kind of good. And I'm sitting down and I look at the clock icon and it says like 5:50. I'm like, oh, this is going to be good. 10 minutes in, you probably know what happened, right? Yeah, electricity went out. And I saw things kind of flicker a little bit. And there's a big, huge, very huge tree, and I could see through the window that the branches were just like going like this, and the lights flickering, and it didn't dawn on me that we were going to lose power, but we did. And I'm like, oh great. I look at the icon on the battery icon, and it says like 73%. 73% battery power, and I'm thinking 73% is probably about 2 hours. I know that because it happened to me on a plane once when I was flying to Chicago. And I had that much battery power left, and it was 2 hours, and it was done. So I'm thinking, I've got 2 good hours to write, which caused me great anxiety because it's usually about, on a Friday night, it's usually about a 4-hour process and another 4 or 5 hours on Saturday. And so I'm like, what am I going to do? And so I'm like, focus. And the more I was trying to do that, the more anxiety came over me. Now I'm thinking about, where's my phone? And I look down at my phone, the phone battery icon, it's already in the red. Okay. So all these things, and maybe you were kind of like me. I was starting to get panicky because now I'm going, where's the candles? You know, if the if the electricity goes out, that means our heater's out. Where are all the blankets that we really are going to need if this thing lasts forever and ever? It was crazy. All of a sudden, I could not think about my sermon, and all I could think about was all these other things that were beginning to distract me. And it dawned on me at some point, probably around 6:30, how accustomed we've come to expect certain things, right? How we take for granted things like electricity, things like blankets, things like a laptop, things like a cell phone. I mean, I've started in my mind, I had to slow down in the spirit of what I'm trying to do myself in Advent and try to receive this power outage as a sign or as a way that God is wanting to speak to me about recognizing what it is I take for granted in my life. That to me is what Advent is about in some way, shape, or form. That these moments, especially in this space, that you and I are slowing down to consider possibly some new ways of receiving Jesus into our hearts this Christmas or this season, to remind us that it's about receiving Jesus new and a new Jesus every day. Because it's way too easy for us to take for granted the things that we think we know already, because maybe you were raised in this setting your entire life. And if that's you, like it is me, I grew up raised in the church every single Sunday. I can probably name a few Sundays where I didn't go to church. Those Sundays were when I was not living at home with my parents. But for those of us that have had the gift of being in a community of faith, these moments are so precious because God wants us to see him new, because the world around us is aching for a new way, okay? Let me pray. Lord, a lot has been said already about how we bring our sticks and how we engage you, the Holy One, how you desire to engage us, how you want us to slow down, to surrender, to have our hands open and our hearts open, to receive you new, not just today, but in a way that changes us and makes a difference in our lives and in the world around us. So we welcome you, Holy Spirit. Have your way. Amen. Mary, the mother of Jesus, certainly knew. She knew the magnitude of what it would mean that the Messiah was coming. She knew what it meant to her people. She was, though she was 14, from what I understand, children back then were, especially in that tradition, knew the stories, they knew the history, they knew the anticipation, they knew the message of waiting for this Messiah. So Mary, the mother of Jesus, knew. Today's passage comes from the Gospel of Luke, and this is commonly known as Mary's song, the Magnificat, which means to magnify. This is Mary's song to us and to God.
And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name."
She says, okay, that's the first half. There's part two of this song coming in a few minutes. I broke this hymn apart because I believe there's two movements that we are to consider this morning. And the first movement is this, and it's grounded in this idea that Mary says, from now on, generations will call me blessed. Generations will call me blessed. You know, I was on Twitter. We got this, Benji? So, get this mic on. I asked Benji to go to Twitter. And if you are a Twitter person or if you're not, sometimes what people do is they'll hashtag something. And it's an easy way to do a search on a topic. And so this topic that I did a search on was hashtag blessed. Okay? So I did a search on Twitter for hashtag blessed. Now, this is the way that people are talking about being blessed. All right? These are just, I don't know any of these people. Just bought my first house at 21 and financially stable. Had to grind for everything I've got. Hashtag blessed. Next one. Can we scroll? There. Good night in the name of Mustang. Hashtag blessed. Again, I don't know any of these people. Okay. Keep going. Thank you for your never-ending support and trust. I love you all. Hashtag blessed. Okay. Wait, can you go back down? 3,000 yards passing. That must have been a quarterback. Hashtag blessed. Y'all, graduation pictures. Hashtag blessed. Hashtag class of 2018. Let's do a few more. It's probably the, IU is probably the only artist that will ask the security guards to stop. I can't read it. It's all the way over. Anyway, hashtag blessed. Josh Pearson, if you knew my story, you would understand the glory. Hashtag blessed. One more. After lots of thought, I'm super excited to say I've committed to Louisiana Tech to continue my academic soccer career. Congratulations, Grace. Thank you to my parents for taking me all over the country and supporting me through this long process. Hashtag Bulldogs. Hashtag blessed. All right. So, you know, I spent a lot of time kind of going through this hashtag blessed on Twitter, and it's amazing. It's amazing. I mean, today if I would ask you to kind of put a little pithy statement in there and go, what would you hashtag as blessed in your life? When I read that and I read this and I'm like, she says, from now on, generations will call me hashtag blessed. And I have to tell you that I think her way of understanding this hashtag is completely different from how we are using this word that we throw around called blessed. Are you tracking with me this morning? Right. She says, from now on, generations will call me blessed. Her life has been changed. Now, if you took a dive into Mary's life, everything about her life would suggest to you that she is not blessed. She doesn't come from a family of great means. She's actually a peasant girl. She's a teenager. She's about to be disgraced in her community. She's not married, and she's pregnant. Hashtag blessed. Really? This is God. This is God where she can say, from now on, generations are going to call me blessed, when the world would look at her and go, that's not blessing. Blessing is 3,000 yards of passing. Blessing is a new house. Blessing is, and not to say that those things aren't important and that those things cannot be attributed to God's great work in our lives necessarily, but I think that's a different blessed than what Mary is talking about. Amen? Mary, you see, understood something that you and I have to also kind of grab onto this morning. She knew what was happening in her life, and she knew the direct connection between her life and God's story. She knew that her life was forever kind of integrated into the way that God was going to choose to show up in this world. She perceived and she believed that she was an important actor in God's drama. Is there anything that you and I can learn from a poor, peasant, teenage, pregnant, unwed mother? Is there anything that you and I can learn from her? I'm going to say yes. Can you and I learn that God is also active in your life in the same way? God continues to want to birth love, transformation, change into the world. It didn't just happen that one time with her, but God continues to want to do this in your life so that you and I might also experience this deepness of being blessed. She understood that she's connected to the broader history of her faith and to the future of our faith. Maybe you and I just take it for granted. Maybe that's what's going on. We take for granted as we open up our laptops and our cell phones and all of that. We take for granted, actually, there's a bigger thing going on here, that God wants desperately to be active in the world through you. God in you, the God that you carry around in your body, is part of and connected to the work that he has always done and what he wants to do in your life, in the life that Eugene Peterson calls your walking around daily life, in your marriages, in your parenting, as you care for your parents, as you love your neighbor, as you shop at the Safeway, as you get coffee in the Starbucks, that God is desirous of being active in those places and spaces, and he just needs us to pause and consider what that means. In that regard, you and I are also blessed in the same way that Mary is. You might be afraid of that. I've talked to folks who said, I don't want that. I'm a little bit afraid of the idea of extending and opening my heart to the world and to others in this way. But as a matter of discipleship and following Jesus, I want to encourage all of us to take the steps that you need to take, to just take a step and open yourself up to that possibility. Mary here claimed her place, and she says that she is called blessed. So that's part one, the blessing. And then I'm going to have Sia come up and read the second part.
His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful, and to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors.
So she didn't take it for granted, this idea of being blessed. But what does the blessing actually look like when it's happening, right? And that's what Sia read, is what the blessing actually looks like. So if you're wondering, if God calls me blessed, if in fact you are blessed because the God of the universe lives in you, then what does the blessing really look like? Is it a car? Is it a scholarship? Right? Is it 3,000 yards of passing? I don't think so. The second part of Mary's song gives us a pretty clear picture of what that blessing might actually look like. What did I do with my glasses? Thanks. Another moment of panic there. So here, I mean, we read it, but I'm just going to kind of pull some things that what it looks like. Mary sings about the God who saves not just our souls, but saves people, right? The God that she is celebrating and proclaiming isn't nearly content to point people to heaven, but his redemptive work begins here and now in a specific place, in a specific context, in 2018, in Burien. God is wanting to be on the move. Rather than being satisfied with comforting the lowly, Mary's Jesus lifts up the lowly and grants them dignity and honor and a seat at the table and a voice in the conversation. Now, years past when I would read, I would make a regular habit of reading several parts of scripture during the Advent season. This is one of them. But I was reminded this time in the second part of Mary's song, she is describing exactly what Jesus' ministry is going to look like when Jesus gets here. When we prepare our hearts to receive Jesus, what Jesus are we preparing our hearts to receive? It's pretty clear from Jesus' mama that this is what Jesus looks like. It's comforting the lowly, right? It's filling people not just with hope, but with food. It's getting super practical. If we want to know what it looks like, it's very practical. It's tangible. Amen? God was at work then, and God is still at work now, at least trying to be at work. One of the passages of scripture that I read from a different translation on this Mary's hymn says that she says it like this: I'm bursting. I am bursting with this news. I wonder if we are bursting with this amazing news that God wants to make a difference, and he's wanting to use the church, as imperfect as we are, to actually do that. God is still in the practice of preparing you and me, not just to receive Christ, but to extend Christ's love and hope and action and solidarity with those who are hungry and poor and ostracized and marginalized. And the more that I realize this, the more that I am on my way. I want to tell you that I know oftentimes I'm talking about what it means to be people who enact God's justice. I want you to hear something. I'm discovering every day what the scriptures are telling us about this. I'm with you. I'm not down the road, a long ways, talking about justice and what it looks like. I am with you in this journey. I am learning myself that God does not want to sit still while people are suffering, and we are doing this, and we're doing actually nothing tangible to actually enact God's transforming love in us and out in our communities. I am learning this just like you. I am not the person by nature that was the first person to call the city council member and ask them to vote a particular way on a recommendation that's coming tomorrow night that's going to impact homeless people in our community. That was not me. 5 years ago, I probably would not have been the person that would have wanted to call and do that. So I just want you to know that while I talk about this and I'm very passionate and convicted because I think this is what God wants, I am with you in the journey. And I want you to come along. I want you to not see this as extra activity that's political. This is biblical work for the biblical people of God. That's what I'm convinced about today. That we are to be folks who show up in solidarity with those who suffer. Yes, show compassion, right? Comfort the meek, comfort the lowly. But there's this other little thing that's tucked in Mary's song, and it's this: to dismantle systems of power that oppress people. It's two things. It's enacting mercy and grace and provision and presence with people who need to know. And it's also doing this other work of creating change. Now, Lake Burien, I see your faces in my mind as I want you to know when I'm preparing to preach, this is what I envision. Yes. When I prepare to preach in my process, in my mind's eye, I envision the sanctuary and I envision your faces. And I wonder, T's nodding his head, what is T going to think about this? Right? What are Paul and Lisa going to think about this? What are the Allens going to think about this? What's Wendy Hall going to think about this? What are the Yoshidas going to think? I cannot prepare without having these messages and these pictures go on and on and on in my mind, because I want to be liked. I want people to like me. I want people to like me. But here's what God has said: don't worry about that. Be faithful to Jesus. Be faithful to the Jesus that you have been called to. And that's what I want to tell you too. You must be faithful. You must be faithful to the Jesus that has called you and to whom you said yes. And Advent, if nothing else, is about putting that in front of God and saying, what in the way that I live my life is inconsistent with who you have called me to be? That is Advent. You know, it's not this nice, fluffy message. It's a beautiful message, but it's a hard message. Because this is the Jesus that we welcome. This is the Jesus that we welcome. You have been blessed because God sees you and is in you and is with you every day when you get in your car and you fight traffic. You know, my prayers are going to be that we all have good attitudes when the viaduct comes down. That might be a good place to start. You are blessed to do what? To do what and to be who? To be in people with solidarity with those who suffer, to call out injustice and to work to dismantle those things and those places that continue to oppress people. That's the good news. That's the message. That's the Advent. That is who you are preparing your heart for in this season. Amen.